And I will bring for you the Bible reading from Matthew, chapter 24, verses 36 to 44. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of the night a thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you, Lynn, as you come and share with us.
Are you ready for December? For the Christmas season, the season of Advent? You know, I find December a bit of a blur. Always have, even before I was a minister and in part responsible for what Advent and Christmas services look like. You know, there are gifts to buy. There are plans to make. Windows to clean. Food to prepare. In the past, there were cards to send. How many of us are still sending cards? All right, just take a mental note of those, everybody, that they're the ones we need to send cards to. Then there's moving the stuff that's accumulated over the year. Can you relate to this? And for some of us, there's the garden. You know, I'm looking for some semblance of order just in case people drop in. It's never perfect, but this week, our back lawn looked like this. Apologies to those who are listening to this on podcast. Apparently, in a weak moment, I agreed that we would get rid of the lawn and put in shrubs. So Craig tells me. The lawn had struggled over the last few years and needed a complete overhaul or a refurbishment of a major kind, as in start again, and that's why this week I came home to molehills. So I don't think we're ready for Christmas. There's no grass for the cricket. There's no green to see from the veranda. It'll be interesting to see what Craig comes up with in the next 3 weeks. No pressure. But this passage today is about being ready. You know, it's a strange one given that this is the first Sunday of Advent and we're actually thinking of Christmas. Because the shops and my Facebook feed and the junk mail is full of Christmas. It's, in a sense, it's at odds with our expectations of Advent. The passage seems to tilt towards a different day altogether, an apocalyptic day with an unknown future, when the Son of Man will suddenly return and lives will be suddenly and surprisingly changed. For those of you that were around in the church in the 80s, it reminds me of the early 80s when we had all these songs and Christian films about being ready. Some of them were not great. It was a time when the first credit card, the bank card, some of you will remember this, some of you are going, oh, that's just history. was seen by some to have the mark of the beast that we read about in Revelation in it, because the bee was in three colours and looked like 666. So there were people that didn't use it because they felt it was something else. And there's that amazing song that some of you may have been singing in your head about, "I wish we'd all been ready," which I think was Larry Norman. Oh, good, I'm just looking over at the musos. It's a very good song. But they were interesting times. We had this sense then in that early 80s that everything was going to change very quickly. And here we are. Interesting times. You know, Matthew's audience were Jewish Christians. A great national crisis was going to sweep over Jerusalem and the surrounding countryside at a date that was, to them, unknown, in an unknown future. Now, we know that it happened in the common era around 70, at the climax of the war between Rome and Judea. Something was going to happen to them that would devastate lives, families, and whole communities. It was swift and sudden. They didn't know when it was going to happen, and it ended with the complete destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. And it's now written in our history books. So this passage has three different stages. First, nobody knows when this will be. Second, life will go on as normal right up to the last minute. And thirdly, it will divide families and work colleagues down the middle. One will be taken and one will be left. So the disciples are no doubt a bit perplexed by all this talk like we are. But the point is that Jesus is telling the disciples to stay alert and to keep watch. Perhaps like people who know visitors are coming, but you don't know when. And today we also live in turbulent times. We talked about this last week when we looked at hope in a confusing world. Who knows what will happen next week? It's up to each of us and each church to ask the questions, are we ready? Are we awake? Are we keeping watch? So why is this passage paired with the first Sunday of Advent? Advent is about the coming of the baby that changed the world forever. But it's also more than that. Advent is also about waiting in expectation for the return of Jesus Christ. And maybe it's more again. Another line of thinking is that this passage is talking about our own death. Each of us will stand before God after taking our last breath, and we don't know when that is. Are we ready? So Matthew looks back to a story from long ago. In Noah's days, the days were ordinary. People were eating and drinking, and there was family life. No sign of anything happening. Noah's illustration is paired with scenes of judgment because the Son of Man will come unexpectedly and cannot be anticipated. And the text tells us that we must develop the art of watchful living. And it seems to allude to a mysterious future day, but it actually remains firmly put into an ordinary present day. The present day is characterized by uncertainty, by a perplexity that extends all the way to the angels and even the sun. Perhaps the text in this sermon is actually all about today. And it points to living a life of work in a spirit of wakefulness. Now, work being activity in the here and now, whatever our activity in the here and now is. And Matthew sees Jesus having an eye on what is to come and believes something decisive is going to happen in the future. But he keeps the attention focused on the present day and the needs of the hour. He directs people to the field, to the mill, the daily grind, the ordinary places of human endeavor where life is lived and that we know so well. There is a sense here that we live in the area of the mundane, the everyday life. And this is where faithfulness actually happens. Biblical faith doesn't know everything, just like we don't know the hour or the day, but it's called something. It's called to do something here and now. And the work is to be accomplished in a spirit of watchfulness and wakefulness. Work will not do everything and cannot do everything, but hope comes. The deepest, best, and highest shall come, not from our work, but from somewhere outside and beyond it. One day Jesus may appear in the clouds, but before that, Matthew reminds us that Jesus will appear just around the corner, suddenly, like a hungry person or a neighbor needing something or someone sick or imprisoned. Are we ready? You know, the first Sunday of Advent is traditionally associated with hope. But what is hope? What is Christian hope actually? How do we describe hope? That feeling of anticipation. Perhaps a future that is better than the present. Hope is waiting in anticipation, in expectation. Advent is a season of hope as we prepare, as we anticipate the birth of Jesus, bringing hope to the world, and continue to look to the return of Jesus. And we must be ready. And so we connect. We connect with Advent, connect with hope by connecting with God and connecting with each other and connecting with others. Connecting with God. I've been thinking about what I can do to grow my faith and my understanding of God. And someone recently shared about how they read the New Testament, one chapter a day each night, starting at Matthew, ending at Revelation, and then cycling through again and again and again. In the morning, this person reads a couple of chapters of the Old Testament. Now, I use a devotion based on the lectionary every morning, but I couldn't stop thinking about the simplicity of adding a chapter of the New Testament every night. And I've learned to listen when I can't stop thinking about stuff. There are 260 chapters in the New Testament. So it would take roughly up to 10 months to read the New Testament right through. And my first thought was to start in January, beginning of the year and all that. But in January, all the routines are out a bit, and it's often a little bit different. And so instead of starting in January and then dropping out in February, which I've done before, when it gets busier, I thought, why not start when it is busier? Build the habit in now, and then perhaps it's easier when February comes. And then I wondered, what if some others wanted to do this too? It would help to do it together, not as a formal thing, but just to touch base from time to time, to encourage each other in this. So I'm starting this today. It's the first day of Advent, the first day of the church calendar. I'm starting with Matthew 1. And if you'd like to join me, there's a sheet in the foyer, of course, to complete as a way of checking in with each other. And this is just one way that we can connect with God. There are so many more. So what about connecting with each other? You know, the Christmas season can be a difficult one, and it can also be quite lonely. And it's easy to get caught up in that busyness of the season and not prioritise relationships together. And as a community together, we need to connect with each other. How often do we wish we'd connected more when someone dies or moves away? There are so many things that we can do to connect with each other. But this is just a bit of a brainstorm, just a few thoughts. Invite someone for a meal. Go out for coffee together. Ring someone. Pray with someone. Send someone a thank you note or email. Walk along the beach with someone. Introduce yourself to someone from another service. Do something for someone. Ask someone what they're up to in the coming week. And there are so many more things that we could do. Why not commit to doing one thing extra with someone from the Adelaide West community each week of Advent? Is that something that we can do together? And then there's connecting with others. And there are so many ways to connect with others and to help others to connect with hope. One way is the reverse Advent calendar. Some of you may already be doing this. You grab a box or a basket. Each day you add an item to the box and then donate it to a food bank or a family in need. And we're taking part once again in the Uniting SA Christmas Peel. That's Uniting SA was formerly known as the Port Adelaide Uniting Care Wesley, or before that Port Adelaide Mission, and a whole another bunch of names. There'll be a Christmas tree up in the next week in the foyer, and your gifts of food, etc., can be placed under that tree for pick-up the week after. Any food after that will go to CareWorks SA over at Theberton or St Andrews by the Sea Uniting Church Community Aid. You know, there are so many ways to connect, but this is one. We need to connect with others and to connect others with hope. Last week we heard that the world needs agents of hope. Agents of hope that are shaped by Jesus, living by the gospel and sharing hope with all. And this passage, there's a reminder in here for us to look back at what God has done in our lives. Matthew looks back at Noah. And when we look back together at moments in our past where God was present, we connect with hope. And then looking forward, we find hope in the future. Hope comes. The deepest, best, and highest shall come. And to live between the times is to trust and hope that God has begun and will continue to transform us more and more into the likeness of Jesus, in whom all God's mercy and loving kindness is manifest. And Advent calls us into a continuing history of relationship with Jesus, who meets us whichever way we turn. Whether it's towards the past or in the present or in the future, Advent invites us to consider again the character of Christian existence between the times. It reminds us of God's promises in the birth of Jesus, and it also anticipates the return of Christ. We must be ever conscious of the coming kingdom, God's reign here on earth, looking for God at work. And that means staying connected to God and trusting in God for all things. Connecting with Christmas. Connecting with hope. Connecting with God, with each other and with others. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you that you connect with us, and that we can connect with your love, your mercy, your grace, and your hope. Lord Jesus, thank you for being our connector, for taking all those things that separate us from God and from each other, so that we can connect. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would help us to connect with God, to connect with each other, and to connect with others. Open our eyes to see the lost, to see the lonely, to see the hurting, and to be able to connect with them and to bring your hope. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Friends, there's no better way but to remember how God connects with us than around this table. This is the table of the Lord, and he calls us to this special meal. We come because we love the Lord a little and would love to love him more. And we come because he loves us and he gave himself for us. And so we hear the words that we've heard before, that come from the Bible, as recorded by Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he'd given thanks for it, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this to remember me." And in the same way, also the cup, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it and remember me." So as often as we eat this bread and we drink the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so according to our Saviour's command, we set apart this bread and this cup for the holy supper that he calls us to, that we're invited to. And we come to God with our prayers of thanksgiving. Let's pray together. Lord God, with all that we are, we give you glory. Trinity of love, the one and holy God, sovereign of all time and space, we bless you. We bless you for this wide red land, for its rugged beauty, its changing seasons, for its diverse peoples, and for all that lives upon this fragile earth. You have called us to be the church in this place, to give voice to every creature under heaven. And we rejoice with all that you have made as we join the company of heaven in their song. And we sing together, we pray together the words on the screen. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. For your kindness to us and your goodness to all, we give you thanks. We thank you that you showed your Son, you showed your love by sending your Son who gave his life for us and rose again from death. We thank you that Jesus has taken away all that separates us from you, has connected us with you and with others and each other. We thank you that Jesus is the living bread who nourishes us in our faith. We thank you that Jesus brought us together at this table to strengthen us by his love and hope. Send your Holy Spirit on us and these your gifts of bread and wine so that we may know Christ's presence through this visible sign of your grace and be his faithful followers, showing your love for the world. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours forever. Let's pray together in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.